Chapter 7. The Birthday Cake. The next day was Saturday, and as soon as Madame Snickersnee was busily employed in manufacturing snores, Minx stripped off her clothes and draped a long old cape around her shoulders to protect herself from the chill air. Then she dumped her dirty clothes in the sink and washed them as well as she could without soap. Madame Snickersnee could not see the value of soap, but she never felt it necessary either to take a bath or wash her clothes. As for dishes, they were occasionally lightly rinsed off underneath the faucet. Minx rubbed and scrubbed, now and then heaving a sigh of deep despair. Would they ever get clean? Finally, she decided that they never would, but at least they were about 10 shades lighter. Then she wrung them out and took them outdoors, draping them over a low branch on the lone tree which stood in their tiny front yard. There now, she thought with satisfaction. It was such a bright, keen October day that she felt full of energy and big plans. I guess first I'd better go water the plants. Poor thing. Oh! She stopped dead still in the front yard, one hand over her mouth, her eyes round with horror. Golly, I never thought of that. Now she remembered clearly the events of the past evening. The flower pots were no more. Oh, golly, she said again. Whatever will I tell the witch? This problem, however, was temporarily forgotten at the sight of Mr. Beanpot advancing toward her, blowing out his cheeks with an important air. "Just the person I want to see," he shouted before he was near enough to talk in normal tones. When he got up close, he said in a much quieter voice, in fact, almost a whisper, "Your mother home, sis?" Minx stared at him with a bold eye, although inside she was quaking like a pot of boiling witch's brew. "My mother is asleep, and I wouldn't advise you or anyone else to wake her up, either." Mr. Beanpot mopped his red face nervously. "I guess I'd better come back when she's awake," he mumbled. "When will that be?" "She sleeps all day long," said Minx pertly, "and then she goes out in the evening." Mr. Beanpot's pale little eyes lighted up with a knowing look. "On her broomstick, I suppose," he said. Now it was Minx's turn to flush and look upset. "None of your P's and Q's," she snapped. "Never mind the sass, sis," said Mr. Beanpot menacingly. "As you probably know, all the missing children turned up last night to gladden their parents' grieving bosoms, though for the life of me I can't see why Mr. and Mrs. Martin," he gave himself a shake, but be that as it may, they all turned up last night very mysteriously. And he shoved his nose in Minx's face. "I think you know something about it." Minx drew back haughtily. "Prove it. All I know is what I heard from Billy Martin." As he pronounced this name, a violent shudder passed over him, but he went on courageously. "It's very strange that those missing kids found themselves in your house last night with no remembrance of what went before. Wouldn't you like to talk to my mother about it?" Minx invited slyly. Mr. Beanpot began to mop his face again, feverishly. "No, thank you. I'll come back some other time." He turned and marched off as fast as his dignity would permit. In spite of her anxiety, Minx snickered. "Old scaredy cat," she muttered. "Oh dear," she sighed. "Trouble, trouble, and more trouble. Oh dear, if there was only someone I could talk to about this." Suddenly she thought of Frances's great-grandma, and a gay lightness seized her. "Maybe she can help." She felt her clothes to see if they were dry. The wind was brisk and the sun bright, but her clothes were not quite dry. She felt terribly impatient, however, and snatching them from the tree, slipped into them swiftly. When she was at last on her way to Frances's house, she shivered in the damp clothing, but she ran swiftly, so that when she finally arrived, she was warm and quite out of breath. Frances opened the door. "Oh, Minx," she cried joyfully, "I'm so glad you could come over. Did you bring your broom?" Minx opened her mouth in dismay. "Oh, Frances, I forgot. Besides, I'd better hide my broom for a while." "Why, what's the matter?" asked Frances. "Plenty," said Minx darkly. "I thought maybe your grandma could tell me what to do." "Tell you what to do?" repeated Frances wonderingly. "You sure sound mysterious." "Well, I'll explain, but do you think your grandma would mind me telling her my troubles?" "Goodness, no," said Frances. "Grandma listens to everybody's troubles by the yard. Grandma listens to everybody's troubles by the yard. Come on in. Minx followed her friend inside, skirting around a red wagon, a jack-in-the-box, and a deflated football. Grandma was in the midst of making a cake. It's George's birthday, she explained, and of course we have to have a cake. Chocolate, said George, sticking a fat finger in the batter. Take your finger out of that batter, said Grandma sharply. Go wash your hands. They're clean, Grandma, said George. I licked them off. Goodness, said Grandma to Minx. I actually got out my paints today to start a watercolor, and then I remembered about the cake. Well, she heaved a sigh. Tomorrow's another day. Grandma, said Frances, Minx would like to tell you her troubles. If you're not too busy, added Minx, shyly. Grandma looked at her kindly. Of course I'm not too busy, darling. If you don't mind my working while you talk, fire away. Her words almost tumbling one over the other, Minx told Grandma about the flower pots and Mr. Beanpot, the detective. I'm afraid he'll put me in jail, she said. It wasn't my fault that the children were turned into flower pots, but I guess he'd never believe that. And what shall I do when my mother finds out that the flower pots are gone? Grandma was whisking the batter out into the grease tins. Minx thought she had not listened to a word, but then she said, I think you haven't a thing to worry about in the case of Mr. Beanpot. He can't prove anything, and as long as those children can't recall what happened to them, you're safe. Anyway, you're just a child, and they couldn't put you in jail. As for your mother, when she finds out the flower pots are gone, that's something else again. As she was shoving the tins in the oven, a worried frown creased her forehead. Maybe you'd better stay with us, my child. Just for a while, anyway. Wouldn't your mother let you come for a visit? Minx shook her head sadly. Goodness, if she ever even found out that I had friends, she'd be simply furious. Well, then, the only thing I can advise is for you to come in here in case she wants to punish you too severely. Maybe you could hide here for a while, suggested Frances. I guess that would be against the law, said Grandma regretfully. No, I suppose I'm not much help, but I can only tell Minx to hope that her mother won't discover that the flower pots are gone. Couldn't you get some other flower pots that look just like them, said Frances. My mother could tell the difference in a flash, said Minx. Anyway, thanks for letting me tell you about it. At least I won't worry anymore about going to jail. If they put the witch in jail, then you won't have to worry about the flower pots anymore, said Frances brightly. Oh, that's right, cried Minx, her face shining with new hope. Well, anyway, said Grandma, it's a good thing you came over, Minx, because now you can stay and have some of George's birthday cake. Ice cream, too, said George happily. Minx forgot all about her worries for the rest of the day. She had never eaten ice cream before and thought she could never get enough of it. The chocolate cake was so light and rich, it almost melted away as soon as it was put in the mouth. After the party, all the children ran out to play. By this time, Minx's clothes were dry, and Frances had loaned her warm jacket to wear. She and Frances were having a joyful time playing hopscotch when Mrs. Sputter, president of the Parent Teacher Association, came along. Mrs. Sputter was a very large lady, wearing square spectacles and a gold chain dangling from them, and she often made the statement that she was afraid of neither man, woman, nor beast. When she saw the girl, she stopped and called out in commanding tones, "Your Minikin Snickersnee, are you not? Come here, my child." Minx was standing on one foot in a square, about to leap to the next square, but so forceful was Mrs. Sputter that she quickly obeyed. "My dear," said Mrs. Sputter, fixing Minx with a look that was meant to be kindly, but which rooted her to the spot in terror. "I'm the president of the PTA, and I notice that your mother does not belong." Minx gulped. "No, ma'am." "Well, my dear, I think it is the duty of every mother to belong to the PTA, and I am going right straight to your house this minute to ask your mother to join." As Minx watched the large figure marching away toward Madame Snickersnee's house, she felt that now indeed her troubles were tumbling on her head in good measure. Chapter 8, Mrs. Sputter. Minx knew she ought to run after Mrs. Sputter to try to stop her, but she was such a determined-looking lady that Minx knew that nothing she had to say would be of any use. When finally she was able to wiggle her tongue again, she said, "Just wait till my mother meets up with her. Mrs. Sputter is going to be awful sorry." Mrs. Sputter doesn't believe in witches, said Francis. Minx hooted. She doesn't! Oh, golly, just wait. Then she turned two shades paler. But just wait till my mother meets up with me, too, she said in a small voice. Do you really think she'll mind that you go to school? Asked Francis. I know it, said Minx with conviction. Billy Martin chose this moment to come along. Yah, old witch, he taunted. I'm racking my brains to put two and two together. Just you wait. If you have to rack your brains to put two and two together, you better go back to the first grade, retorted Minx saucily. Billy could think of no suitable reply to this, so he stuck out his tongue and sauntered off with a self-important air. Mr. Beanpot, who happened to be coming along at that moment, saw him and ducked hastily down a side street. The town clock struck five, and Minx gave a little jump. Oh, goodness, I have got to go home. I've got to get home. Oh, my goodness. Do you want me to go with you? Offered Francis bravely. Oh, no, said Minx. I wouldn't want anything to happen to you. Well, so long, Francis. Thanks for everything. Here's your jacket. Keep it, said Francis. I have two others. I know Grandma would like you to have it. Well, thanks. So long now. And away Minx flew through the swiftly rising darkness. When she went fearfully inside the house, the very first sight that greeted her eyes was a large flower pot standing in the center of the table. The plant which grew from it was broad-leaved and luxuriant, a good deal like a thriving rubber plant. Minx stared at it in horror. Oh, my golly, she said, Mrs. Sputter. Then she became aware of Madame Snickersnee, who was glaring at her evilly from a corner of the room. Right, she croaked, your PTA friend, Mrs. Sputter. Of all the pushy, obnoxious females, she was the worst. But I must say she makes a nice bit of green in the room. She fixed Minx with her little red eyes and said ominously, Who gave you permission to set foot inside that schoolhouse, miss?
I wanted to see what it was like, stammered Minx.
Oh, you did, sneered Madame Snickersnee, and I suppose you've been lollygagging around with your fine school friends. Future flowerpots they'll be, or I'll eat my hat. Minx reflected that Madame Snickersnee's hat would make quite a few and anything but tasty mouthfuls, but she was soon rudely jarred from this train of thought. And another thing, said Madame Snickersnee, advancing toward Minx slowly, her eyes gleaming like hot coals. Another thing, miss, where are those flower pots? Minx longed desperately to rush for the door, but her knees felt much too weak. But what with thinking about this problem so much, she had her story already. A detective was around asking about the missing children, she said, hoping her voice wouldn't quaver. So I got scared he'd suspect the flower pots, and I hid them. Madame Snickersnee seemed a bit taken aback. A detective snooping around here? Yes, said Minx. His name is Mr. Beanpot. Well, well, her eyes narrowed into slits. That certainly is very interesting. In fact, I'll be very interested to know the next time he comes around here. Yes, ma'am, I'll be sure to tell you. And now, miss, continued Madame Snickersnee, pray tell me where you hid the flower pots. Minx felt a cold sweat break out on her forehead. Why hadn't she thought about that? But she had to say something. The witch's eyes were almost burning a hole right through her head. Boldly, she said, I put them out in the yard. Well, all I have to say, croaked Madame Snickersnee, is that they'd better be there when I look for them tomorrow. Oh, they'll be there, said Minx, unless someone stole them. Oh, stole them, hey, shrieked the witch. Don't start making excuses, miss. They'd just better be there. She slung a leg over her broom and whizzed off into the darkness. Oh, golly, now I am in for something, groaned Minx. She'll be sure to look for those flower pots when she comes home. She suddenly thought of the beautiful lady whom she had not glimpsed for 2 days, so she went over to the mirror. For a long time she gazed into its blurred depths, and then suddenly she saw her, beautiful as a star, smiling at her with tenderness. She was afraid to turn around to try to find her, for then the lovely image would fade from the mirror. For the first time, she spoke to the reflection, for now she was sure that this was a real person and not just an imaginary one.
"Oh, beautiful lady," she said, "can't you help me? The witch will surely do something terrible to me when she finds out the flower pots are gone." Instantly there was a sound as of the mirror cracking, and the image wavered and melted away. Minx's heart sank like a stone. Slowly, with tears in her dark eyes, she turned away and then gave a start of surprise. There before her was the lady of the mirror, but 1,000 times more beautiful than her reflection. Her hair streamed down to the floor, silver pale as quiet water at dusk, crowned with a circlet of stars. Her eyes were dark and luminous like shadowed forest pools, her skin as white and pink as the petals of arbutus. Tall and slender she was, wrapped around in a mantle of glowing silver. For a long moment, Minx could do nothing but stare. Then, in a voice that was almost a whisper, she said, "Who are you?" But the lady never spoke. She just shook her head slowly and pressed a finger against her lovely mouth. At first, Minx was bewildered. Then she said, "Oh, can't you speak?" Again, the beautiful creature shook her head. Minx felt very sad. "How can we understand each other, then? Won't you be able to help me?" The lady looked sorrowful, too, but this time she nodded her head as if to say yes. Suddenly there was a rap at the door, and the lady looked around in alarm. "Don't be scared," said Minx comfortingly. "That's probably my friends. We're trying to get the right magic brew to make a fairy appear." The lady looked as if she were laughing. Her eyes were full of mirth, and her face dimpled. Minx hurried to open the door. There stood Frances with her brothers and sister. "Come in," she cried eagerly. "Come in and meet the beautiful lady." "Beautiful lady?" repeated the children questioningly. They all piled in, looking around curiously. "Where is any beautiful lady?" demanded Jack. "I don't see anyone," said Bob. "Why, she's right that," began Minx, then gave a gasp. "Oh my goodness, oh goodness, she's gone." "You're just kidding us, aren't you?" said Jack. "No, honest, I'm not. She was the most beautiful lady in the whole world, but she couldn't talk." "Deaf and dumb," said Bob. "No," said Minx, "she could hear me, but she couldn't speak." "Well, anyway, she's just disappeared," said Frances, "so she must be magic." "Maybe she's an enchanted lady, like in the fairy stories," said Alice. Minx looked at Alice with wonder. "Why, Alice, you certainly are a smart little girl. That's probably just what she is." "Then let's get to work on the magic brew," said Jack, "and maybe we'll discover something to get rid of her enchantment." "That's called disenchanting someone," said Frances. "Okay," said Jack agreeably, "but whatever it's called, let's get started." Chapter 9, The Yellow Powder. "Well, what bottle will it be this time?" said Minx, looking over the colorful bottles. All the children began to clamor for a chance to choose. "I have an idea," said Frances sensibly. "Why don't you just shut your eyes, Minx, and I'll turn you around 3 times, and then you pick one." "Okay, that sounds like a good idea," said Minx. She squeezed her eyes shut, and Frances turned her around 3 times so that she was facing the shelves. "Golly, I feel dizzy," giggled Minx, reaching out her hand hesitantly toward the shelves. She curled her fingers around a jar. "Here it is, I guess." "Okay, open your eyes," said Frances. "Oh my," said Alice, "that's sure a pretty yellow." Minx took the yellow powder and dumped a little into the magic kettle, along with some magic liquid. Immediately, the ingredients boiled up into a seething mass like frothing sunshine. "Oh, how beautiful," cried Frances. "Shh," said Bob, "something's happening." "What is it?" whispered George hoarsely. The vapor was winding mysteriously around the room, and the children saw a form emerging. They felt as if they hardly dared to breathe. The vapor began clearing away, and there, perched on the edge of the kettle, was a tiny creature about 8 inches high, with wide gold butterfly wings and a pointed, saucy face. She was dressed in a filmy gown of palest gold, and around her long golden hair was a wreath of tiny blue flowers that just matched her eyes. The children all stood around, mouths open, eyes popping. At last Minx said in a voice that was hardly more than a squeak, You're a fairy?" In a voice as thin as a sliver of rain, the fairy said, "Of course. Could you mistake me for anything else?" "Oh, how beautiful," said Alice in awe. The fairy preened herself. Of course I'm beautiful. I have no less than 6 elves courting me right now, and I would have 7, only that little hussy Bluebell tricked him into marrying her by pretending she owned 12 beehives. She stamped her little foot indignantly. Well, anyway, said Frances soothingly, I think 6 elves is an awful lot. The fairy looked mollified. What did you want to see me about? She asked amiably, settling herself on the edge of the kettle and swinging her feet. As a matter of fact, nothing, said Minx. We just wanted to see a fairy. The fairy reached into a small bag which swung from her belt and took out a tiny lipstick and mirror. You couldn't have chosen a better fairy to look at than me, she said smugly, beginning to paint her lips with great care. The children were so fascinated that they crowded quite close. Good heavens, cried the fairy, you get so close I can hardly breathe. The children moved back just a little, never taking their eyes from her. Don't you want any magic at all? Demanded the fairy, rather disappointed. Maybe she could think of a way of disenchant the beautiful lady, suggested Alice. Bring on the enchantment. Bring on the enchantment, said the fairy, boastfully. I'll fix 'em all. Who is the unfortunate creature who needs to be disenchanted? Minx told her all about the lady of the mirror. The fairy's eyes grew quite round. Oh, my goodness, she piped. I know that lady well, my dear, and I know all about the enchantments too. She's under a spell placed on her by Madame Snickersnee. My mother, cried Minx in astonishment. Don't interrupt, said the fairy crossly. This enchantment can never be broken until... All at once her voice faded out so weakly that no one could hear her anymore, and then she faded out too. Oh, my golly, cried Minx in disappointment. Let's hurry and throw some more powder in the kettle. They rushed to the jar, but as they reached for it, they heard a dreadful racket and clatter outside the door. What's that? They cried fearfully. Scarcely were the words spoken when in through the door burst Madame Snickersnee. Aha! Screeched the witch in a long, drawn-out howl, while the children stood rooted to the floor, their knees knocking. Minx was the first to recover sufficiently to speak. Oh, hello, ma'am, she quavered. These are my friends from school. Madame Snickersnee looked at them as if she thought nothing... as if she thought less than nothing of them. Oh, your fine school friends, she sneered. How do you do, said Frances weakly. The other children opened their mouths, but no sounds emerged. Don't ask me how I do, shrieked Madame Snickersnee, so violently that they all backed away in terror. I do fine, but I'd do much better without all these gawking brats around. She grabbed Minx by the ear and held fast. You, young lady... What were you doing with my magic kettle out? Speak up.
I was trying some experiments, ma'am.
Oh, experiments, hey? And may I ask what experiment resulted from all your brazen fiddle-faddling with my magic powders?
Nothing much, ma'am, squeaked Minx.
Madame Snickersnee pushed Minx roughly aside and went over to the kettle. Sticking her long nose inside, she took a deep sniff.
Aha! She screamed. I smell the yellow powder. What did that little snip of a fairy tell you?
Nothing, ma'am. She just showed off and put lipstick on. The witch narrowed her eyes until they were red slits. I suspect you lie, little vixen. George began to howl.
I want to go home.
George wants to go home, Frances spoke up bravely. Good night, everybody.
Just a minute, screamed Madame Snickersnee. Nobody's going to set foot outside that door.
Alice began to howl, too. There was such a din, what with Madame Snickersnee screeching and George and Alice howling, that Minx stuck her fingers in her ears.
You brat, shrieked Madame Snickersnee. How dare you plug up your ears when I'm speaking?
Minx took her fingers out of her ears.
And another thing, the witch went on in the same tone of voice. I happened to see Billy Martin while on my travels this evening, so I'm quite sure now what happened to those flower pots. You were sneaking around in my magic powders and found the formula.
She grabbed Minx by the ear again. Now, just for that, Miss Smarty, you're going to do a little job for me. We still have that bottle of black spell brew you made up the other night, so now you'll take it
and change all your wonderful friends into beautiful flower pots. All the children let out gasps and shrieks, screeches. Oh, ma'am, cried Minx, please, please don't make me do that. Oh, please, please, ma'am. But Madame Snickersnee got the bottle of Black Spell Brew and uncorking it, thrust it into Minx's hand. Get busy or I'll change you first into a flower pot and all your fine friends after you. I want to go home, bellowed George and Alice. I guess you'd better do it, Minx, said Frances as bravely as she could. We'll get changed into flower pots anyhow. Please don't make me do it, ma'am, begged Minx, beginning to cry. They're good children. Let them go home. I don't care whether they're good or bad, said Madame Snickersnee. They're children, and that's enough. Start now, young lady, or you'll be sorry. Slowly, with shaking hand, Minx tipped up the bottle over the blonde head of Frances, but just as the liquid started to ooze out thickly, there sounded a knock on the door. Madame Snickersnee gave a start of surprise. Who can that be? She croaked. Open it, said Minx eagerly, holding the bottle upright again before any of the liquid could spill. There's no one I want to see, said the witch. They can just go away. Maybe it's your new poison catalog, suggested Minx anxiously. That would come in the mail, stupid, said the witch. Minx's heart started to sink again. If only something would happen to save them. But at that moment, the door burst open and in walked Mr. Beanpot with two policemen. The witch is going to change us into flower pots, sobbed George. Not I, never, never, screeched Madame Snickersnee, and pointing a claw-like finger at Minx, she said, that horrible child was going to do it. Well, said Mr. Beanpot suspiciously, something funny is going on here, and we arrest both of you in the name of the law. Quick, Minx, quick, shrieked Madame Snickersnee, pour the black spell brew on them. But quite deliberately, Minx dropped the bottle on the floor and all the brew spilled out. Scorcher bolted over to it in a flash and started to lap it up, but no sooner had he taken two laps than he gave a hideous yowl and turned into a puff of black smoke, which quickly disappeared. Oh, my cat, my beautiful cat, howled Madame Snickersnee. That's the end of him, poor dear creature. Never mind that, said the bigger policeman. Come along quietly now. So Madame Snickersnee and Minx were taken off to jail.